Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome to those who are new. Welcome to those online. Let's dance our praise and worship together this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are in this place. Hallelujah. You have come to meet your deliverer, your provider, your shepherd. Hallelujah. He is here this morning. You have come to meet him, so let's praise his name this morning. Hallelujah. You are a glorious God. He is a glorious God. Hallelujah. Yes, you are a glorious God, Lord. We praise your name, Father, this morning. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You are awesome. are mighty in our midst. You are mighty in our midst. You are Lord, for you are mighty in our midst. Faithful God, alleluia, alleluia. You are mighty, Lord.
You are mighty in our midst.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Thank you. Somebody say he is a faithful God. Say he is mighty in our midst. He is powerful in our midst. The healer is in our midst. The provider is in our midst. The great physician is in our midst. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. God bless you and continue to anoint you and continue to give you the right songs. We give you praise, Almighty God. Bless their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. God dear everyone, so stretch your hands while we pray for our children. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We welcome you and we receive your blessing. Commit our entire families into your hand, all our biological children and their spouses and their children's children, and all our spiritual children and all our partners and extended families and those standing here in our midst, every child from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, every one of them walking the earth, every decade of life, we commit all our lives before you. We say the Lord reigns. You are mighty and you are faithful. And you will do what you have started. You will continue it and you will finish it. You are good. You are a good father. You are our Abba Father, our Daddy God, who never sleeps nor slumber, watch over your children. He that keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber, keep your people, Lord, in the palm of your hands and watch over them all week, all month, all year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, children, be blessed at your class. See you later. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. We receive your life and we receive your spirit. In the name of Jesus, into our lives, our church, our ministry, our families, our nation, our city, our businesses, and in this house this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our scripture reading this morning is going to be from the book of Thessalonians. You should familiarize yourself with those scriptures, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But we're going to read 1st Thessalonians chapter 1. So I encourage you to read chapter 2 at home by yourself. I was going to read both, but I'm reading one. So Thessalonians, if you don't know where it is, go to the table of content. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's read. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can tell me where Thessalonia is today? Well, it's in Greece. So, Greece. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which is in God. So this is where he's writing to the people in Greece and to us. Let's read from verse 1 again. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and the church, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this time we'll read it one more time. We're going to receive that same greetings for Winnipeg. So wherever you are, call the name of your city. All right? Say, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Winnipeg, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from our Lord, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the greetings is from both Father and Son. Hallelujah. Where did he say the church is? The church is in God. You're sitting somewhere this morning, but where are you seated? In God. Never forget your position. Be conscious of it. Be conscious of where you are all the time. If you don't learn one thing from me, learn only that. Know where you are all the time. Say amen. You can be talking to somebody, but remember where you are and remember whose child you are. Say amen. I don't care if you were born in a family of drunkards or harlots or whatever it is. You are in God. Say amen. Say, I'm in God. Where's the church? Where's glory and peace this morning? Where are the churches this morning in Winnipeg? Whether they don't know where they are, you must know where you are. In God, and you're getting grace from God the Father and God the Son. Somebody say, I receive grace from God the Father and God the Son, and his peace, and his love, and his anointing. Well, Jesus Christ means the anointed one. Say amen. So you lack nothing this morning. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So whatever you are doing, when you serve in the house of the Lord, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You are serving Father. You are serving the Father, the Son. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Spirit is the quickener. So most times you will not hear him saying, grace from the Holy Spirit, because it's quickening you to remember the Father and the Son. Say amen. Say, I give you a comforter. He's your comforter, your teacher, the one that teaches you, that quickens you to have understanding. Say amen. He's the one that gives you wisdom to know the Father. All those gifts are to know the Father, to know the Father, to know him. To know him. Say, may I know him. May I know the Father this morning. Knowing brethren, verse 4. Knowing brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Paul is saying himself, Silvanus, you know who we are. We have demonstrated the faithfulness of God. We are who God says we are. In other words, they are not fake. They are true men of God. May you be a true man and a true woman of God this morning. Say amen. And may you receive the gospel power in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Ghost be on your side and my side. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. There are people who have been following us almost 40 years in this house. Not quite 40 yet, but quite a long time. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they've remained here since 85. So if they have not seen the Lord with us, they will not be here. Now, some people, they see the Lord, and then they run away, go and hide. They see some people are still living under fig leaves. May you not be a fig leaf Christian. May you be an open Christian. Say amen. Say amen. Say the amen so well, so the devil will run away from you this morning. Amen. You know, you can say amen and just love God, and the devil just say, oh my goodness, there's no room here for me. I'm out of here. Always do that. Say another amen. Amen. Verse 7. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Say amen. May God do the same. May we be believers that believe that we are not taught over and over again the same thing. Say amen. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say amen. See, when I was growing up, I grew up in a city where there were a lot of idols. But God, that was not my home people, but my dad was working there, you know. But God transferred his fire and his power through the man of God that I grew under, Benson Idahosa, and then all idolaters brought all their idols, the whole city, the city was cleansed. Cleansed, and revival started. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, you couldn't, you know, you couldn't. There are still cities today that serve idols. We went to certain nations, you know, and when we are driving, I close my eyes in the car, and I say, are we at our hotel yet? Because every spot you look at, idols, all kinds. And I thought I grew up in a city where there were idol worshippers. Those ones were like child play. These ones were like lots of monkeys jumping in the bush. But you know what? God moved in that city. So today you don't see those idols. You used to see them. You couldn't pass anybody's backyard and not see it. At least 90% of the town were idol worshippers. Today they are on fire for Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. You could not see one of them outside. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the evening, after dinner, by 6 p.m., you hear the drums and you see people dancing and moving in the ground like serpents. No, you know, children are curious. My dad used to say, if I catch you with those heathen, well, you find a way to sneak and go watch what's happening. When you hear the drum, you run back home fast so you are not caught. So, thank God they could not steal our heart. We did not want that. So praise the Lord. Why would I be crawling on the ground like a snake? What kind of rubbish is that? But demons are not worth worshiping. They're fallen angels. They've been thrown out of heaven. Why would you be following things that have been thrown out by God? Somebody say, I'm free. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know how we got there, but you know these places, Thessalonica and all these places, ancient Greece was all demonized, idol worshippers. But thank God for his grace. In the midst of that, the gospel was preached and demonstrated with power. And that power is still demonstrated today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. And may we not be found wanting. And when he comes, may we be part of the going home together. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let us rise and pray. So those scriptures are not for decoration. Read Thessalonians. And I told you, read Thessalonians, read Peter. It also tells you about the end times. So praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another glorious Sunday morning. We thank you for another day that you've given to us. We can praise you and serve you in the land of the living. We can still tell somebody about Jesus. There's no evangelism in heaven. It can only happen here. Father, anoint us to become people who tell people about Jesus. Let us not keep what we know to ourselves, but begin to tell our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, our co-fellow citizens about their true identity in God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that they will accept him as Lord and Savior and become partakers of all his divine beauties, his divine blessing, his divine nature. Lord, direct our heart back to you, Lord. Bring all your children back to you. In the name of Jesus, except the Holy Spirit quicken, no one can say Jesus is Lord. Father, quicken your people that they will accept your Lordship. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for our families, our friends, even our enemies. We know there is hope. You will save those who we call upon the name of the Lord. May our enemies call upon your name, that they be saved instead of them perishing. In the name of Jesus, draw every household. You know what is going on behind the scene. You know what is happening in individual homes. Those hearing the sound of my voice this morning, what is happening between husband and wife, what is happening between children and parents, what is happening between grandparents and grandchildren, what is happening with their co-workers, what is happening with their fellow church members. You know what is happening in our city. Father, you know all the details. Your eye watches over all. You watch the hearts of men. Father, touch our hearts. Let our hearts not be dirty, but if there's any dirtiness there, let it be cleansed now by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us with your water and your word. Purify our hearts, O God, with your refiner's fire. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn brightly inside us, in the name of Jesus. Father, let your power emanate from us, setting the captives free, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the crippled to walk. Strengthen every one of us. Where we are weak, may we be strong. Somebody say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let resurrection power flow freely in our midst, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, those who are struggling, that have issues that are not easily solvable, there is nothing our God cannot do. Solve those issues for your people. Solve them, O God. Solve them, O God. Those that the doctors have condemned, that there is no hope. Father, you are the hope that is against all hope. We call upon that hope to take over. Take over. Take over their body. Take over their cells, their bones, their blood. We declare them be healed, be restored, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, let the piercing word of God pierce. Pierce those things. Pierce those things. And we declare, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. And every darkness of sickness and disease and pain and sorrow be lifted off your people. In the name of Jesus, We declare your peace and your strength. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace, 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 peace. We speak shalom, O God. Heal your people. Heal the mothers and fathers that are mourning, that have lost their sons and their daughters to this senseless war. Heal your people, Lord. Restore, 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 restore them back again. Bring joy back to them. Yes, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let the days of joy come again. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the defender of Israel. Defend your people. Defend your people and keep them safe. Lord, we give you praise. Remember your everlasting covenant to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, remember them. Fulfill your promises in our lives. Fulfill it for Israel, fulfill it for the nations. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. We receive that blessing now. For the nation of Israel, for Canada, United States of America, Nigeria, Yugoslavia, and all the Slav nations, in the name of Jesus, touch them, Lord. Bring them back to you. Touch everyone. Any nation someone is calling on the name of the Lord, hear the cry and save them, Lord. Just one man you sent to Nineveh, Jonah, one man's cry led to the cry of the king and the people. And their revival, you turn around the destruction that was coming to them. Turn around the destruction that is coming to the nations. Turn it around, O God. Bring people, the kings and the leadership, the presidents, the prime ministers, the kings, the queens, those who lead, the governors, that they will turn back to you, O God. And the premiers turn back to you and call upon the name of the Lord. That disaster will leave the nations. In the name of Jesus, we receive your word this morning. Your word has been prepared. You've prepared a table for us to feast. Let your word now that is coming with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, truth, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, and blessings. Let it permeate our hearts and let the miracles begin. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word. And we thank you for testimonies that we're going to have this week. Every burden of glory and peace, we commit to you. Father, you are the answer. We receive solutions and answers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Also.
Blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. Amen. It's always a joy to share this time with you from the Word of God. But before I begin speaking this morning, I feel that there is a song that needs to be sung. It's a song that's from this house. It might be the first time that you and I are going to be hearing it, but I heard in my spirit that this song needs to be sung this morning. And I called on our dear sister, Lindsay, and asked her, is this song ready? She said, it's ready, but we've not done it. So we're going to hear together, My Father, My Fighter.
Yes, Lord. For me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy
stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee again. Hallelujah. I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. For I know where my help comes from. Oh, my Father, my fighter, hey, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is final, hey, this is not the end, to you belongs the vengeance. Oh, I know you fight for me, hey, oh, I know you fight for me. Oh, I know you fight for me. Oh, I know you fight for me. To the top. Lord, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Yes, oh, your mercy will never fail. You're my Father, my fighter, hey, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is not the end, to you belongs the vengeance. My Father, my fighter, hey, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is final, hey, this is not the end, to you belongs the vengeance. Oh, I know you fight.
My Father, my fighter, fight for me. Do you have the lyrics so I can read it? Is that the lyrics? I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. I know where my help comes from. Your mercy will never fail. My Father, my fighter, you are unstoppable. Can't be limited, no. Your word is final. This is not the end. To you belongs the vengeance. I know you fight for me. Oh, come on, come on. Give me a hug. Oh, bless you. Hey! I know you fight for me. Sing it again.
I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Oh, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. Yes, I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Yes, for I know where my help comes from. Oh, my Father, my fighter, hey, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is final, hey, this is not the end, to you belongs the vengeance. My Father, my fighter, hey, you're unstoppable.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome. I now have a new favorite. Amen. I had not heard that song. But as I was sitting down there, the Lord was speaking to me. So I called on Lindsay. I said, is this song great? God knew. God knew the title, knew everything. Oh, blessed be the name of the living God. Songs from this house shall be sung all around the world. When God gave those words to us some 30-something years ago about what was going to come up in this house, you've not seen anything yet. You've not seen the different choirs. You've not seen those yet. There are going to be multiple choirs. And I am deeply encouraged in my heart. You know, it's not just you that go through things. There are things that I go through, but I don't share with anybody.
I don't talk to anybody about it. Some things that I go through that I won't even burden Mama with. Some things I don't understand. Why am I going to tell somebody something I don't understand and then mess around with their faith? It's my issue. Let me talk with God about it. Let me figure out, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Sometimes we have an enemy that is stronger, that's standing there. But we serve a living God. We serve a living God. We had a crusade yesterday. Jesus is Lord. We had a crusade yesterday that really got the enemy really mad. I didn't think that crusade yesterday was going to cause so much attention in the realm of the spirit, but it did. Because the onslaught of the enemy that God showed me, I said, Lord God Almighty, what happened here? But what it did for me is, don't ever go into any crusade without being fully fortified. Nothing that I'm going to be doing henceforth is going to be dealt with tender fingers. The battle is raging, child of God, but the victory is ours. Amen? Thank you so very much. Really appreciate it. How appropriate is that song? Because last week we started talking about Goliath. We talked about our positioning as we looked at the word of God in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, where it tells us that the Philistines were gathered together, and they were gathered together in the place called Sukkah. And we talked about what Sukkah meant, that Sukkah meant the place of the hedge. A bushy, hedgy spot. It says it belonged unto Judah, which means praise. So the hedge of protection is connected to our praise. And it says the enemy pitched between Sukkah and Azekah. Azekah is a place that is tilled over, dug over, in a place called Ephes Damim, or the boundary of blood. We talked about how the enemy positions himself strategically in the place that we should be. We should be in that place within the hedge. We should be in that place where God has dug over and removed our past from our present. We should be in that place that God's grace sufficient by the precious blood of Jesus Christ keeps us protected. But that's where the enemy positioned himself. And the people of Israel positioned themselves in a place called Elah. Elah, I mentioned to you, has many meanings. Elah is an oak, but it's also a terebinth tree. And this terebinth tree, from its trunk, you can tap turpentine. And when you extract turpentine from that, and we understand what turpentine does, it strips, it removes the shine. This is where the people of God stayed, in the place where the glory that is on them is stripped off of them. But they could be strong like the oak.
So this is a double place, a double-minded place. And we need to be very careful where we position ourselves. One of the things Mama said to us today while she was reading the scriptures to us was about our positioning. Know where you are in. No matter what's happening in your life, know your position. Amen? So anyway, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, that having positioned themselves in these places, they encountered the enemy. And the Bible tells us that this enemy, his name was Goliath. Saul, who is the king of Israel at this particular time, the one that is desired. And let me stop for a moment and say this. The reason I spend time to explain names is for you to grasp and understand something. That places, people, times, seasons answer their name. They live out their name. Okay? So, once upon a time, a child was born and his name was called Saul. Saul, which means desired. That's his name. Desired one. One that is asked for. And lo and behold, when it was time for the people of Israel to desire a king, ask for a king, the one that answered the name, asked for, desired, became king. Are you with me? He is leading the people of Israel in the pitch at Elah. They're on one mountain and the Philistines are on the other mountain, and there's a valley between them. And the Bible says a great champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. 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 What does Goliath mean? Goliath means splendor. Now, if you were to see Goliath, you will see splendor in front of you. He is almost 9 feet tall. He's a big guy. Are you with me? He is all muscle, lean, the manifestation of splendor. When he was born, he was given that name, and he's living it out. But who is Goliath? You know the story of Ruth and Naomi and Orpah. Remember this story? Orpah and Ruth are daughter-in-laws. We'll spend another time to talk about this. Of Naomi, their husbands are dead. Naomi is going back to Israel or to Bethlehem. And she says to both ladies, go back home. I have nothing to offer you. Go back home. Orpah packs her bags and she goes home. Ruth, on the other hand, says, no, 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 no. I'm not going back home. Your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. She's a Moabitess. And the Moabitess or Moabites were not allowed to associate or come into the presence of God. They were banished from the word of God. God himself said it. But she says, no. Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. And she follows Naomi back to Bethlehem. She gets married to a guy called Boaz, and who gave birth to Obed, who gave birth and continues to the time of David. On the other side, Orpah and her family, the one that went back, she is the great-great-grandmother of somebody called Goliath. Are you with me? So the two women produce the two that are going to battle. One looks so small in the eyes of man. He is but a youth. He's inexperienced. He has nothing but God. He's not even considered. He's the eighth child of his father, Jesse, the one that means I possess. And the Bible says that Jesse walked amongst men as an old man. So his father is an old man. This is a child of an old man. His brothers are big. And he is this little nobody. When Samuel came to anoint a replacement, and I know I'm talking about a lot of things at the same time and covering a whole lot of history, and if you do not know your Bible, I may possibly lose you, but if you just follow this story, you'll be just fine, and someday you'll grow and you'll read the Bible and you'll experience and understand all of these things together. Saul is rejected to be king, and he's sent to go anoint another. And here comes Eliab and all the brothers. Seven of them came, and God said, none of these ones. And Samuel says to Jesse, is there another that is not here? Yeah, it's this little kid, my son David, is over there. So bring him, the one that you forgot to bring. You know, I want to anoint a king, and you bring me your natural best. But God had number eight. New beginnings. And here comes David, still smelling like the sheep and the goats that he was taking care of. And he comes in there, not knowing what was happening. Nobody had invited him. And he sees all this, and he sees the prophet, and he sees everybody. And the prophet says, come here, son. And anoint him. Yeah, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You're the one. The one what? The one. You're going to be king someday. Me. I think you missed the mark, man. It's not possible. You may think about yourself that you are nobody, and everybody else thinks that you are nobody. But when God thinks about you, he thinks thoughts of peace. He thinks thoughts of victory. And he's saying, this one I choose, because he's so weak and incapable, so that when I do what I do in him and through him, everybody will know this is God. This is just God. This is, come on. It's got to be God. And that's exactly what God is going to do with this household of faith. Because what God is going to do is going to be a testimony before all men. And they will say, shoo, it got to be God. But guess what? We've got a name. It's called Glory and Peace. We've got a place as a corner of main and church. Because God's saying, this is the main church. We will answer our name. Somebody shout hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's trying to do. All I'm concerned about is looking unto the author and the finisher of my faith and recognizing that he is not just adequate, he is more than enough. Hallelujah. Do you know that God is more than enough in your life? Here comes Goliath, this splendor. He is decked up. He's 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head. Wow. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Can you imagine? I can't even lift half of that. This guy's wearing it. He's decked up. Just looking at him will cause you to be afraid. And he comes out. It says, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs. What? Why does this big guy need all this armor covering? If this big guy knows to get dressed up for war, what about you, child of God? The word of God says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Goliath had it. It says, and a target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. So with all of that, he still had a shield bearer. This guy is decked. He's ready to war. And he comes out before the people of Israel, and he stood and cried out unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? Remember what we talked about? The word Philistine means an immigrant. He says, am I not a Philistine? The other thing we talked about, the Philistine, was they were immigrants. They were immigrants from Crete. And Crete means fleshy. Remember that so far? Okay. And he says, am I not an immigrant, or am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for you and let him come down to me. Let him come down to me. Come down from where you are. Come to me. Come fight me here. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be servants unto me. And the Bible says that he did this for 40 days. For 40 days straight. He taunted the people of Israel. He said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me somebody to fight with. The Bible says when Israel heard these words, they were scared. They were afraid. This was going on. Meanwhile, David is at home. He's not there. And the father, Jesse, the son, he says, now David, the son of the Ephratite, or the man from Ephraim. And you've heard me talk to you about Ephraim in the past. Ephraim means ashiness or fruitfulness. So that tells us that this is going to be a place of deciding. Am I going to be burnt out ash, or am I going to be fruitful? He sends his son. He says, go, meet your brothers, take these groceries to them, take care of them, take care of the captain of their team, and so on and so forth. Now, 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I shared with you about the people of Israel and what the Philistines did. The Philistines did not allow them to have any weapons. Remember that message? Okay. That's in the 13th chapter. They were not, only two people had swords. Saul and Jonathan. So what did these guys go to fight with? They had nothing. Maybe some of them carried their matchlocks and their hoes that were not properly sharpened because the Philistines would not allow them. But they went to go fight. Are you going to fight a battle without being properly armed? And then you see a Goliath. What are you going to do when the guy shows up? When all you've got is your little, what is that guy's name? Pee Wee Herman? You got your Pee Wee Herman muscles. And you're going to fight this guy that's up to the sky? You can't even carry just his spear. You cannot carry it. You can lift it. And you want to go fight this guy? So, of course, they are afraid. As soon as the man comes out, they all dash off running up back up the hill. Just from the talk of Goliath. They all scattered all over the place. You know the story. And yet David comes with the groceries. And he finds his brothers and he's giving it to them, and Goliath comes out and everybody starts taking off. And David's standing there saying, what's going on? Well, they tell him, they said, this is interesting. The first thing they tell him is about how the person who defeats Goliath was going to be rewarded. But one thing I want you to see before I tell you that is this. David is going, and take this as a very powerful principle. He's going, and the sheep that he was taking care of, he made sure that that flock was taken care of before he left to go to see his brothers. When he got to where the army was, with the carriage that he came in, he made sure the carriage was taken care of by somebody. Never go on an assignment without taking care of what you need to take care of. The fact that you've been sent to do something does not mean that you lose responsibility for what you always had to do. That makes sense? It's like me traveling.
and not making certain that there's a preacher. Not making certain that things are going to run okay when I'm not here. I have to give the responsibility to somebody else. Take care of this. I am doing such and such. That makes sense? You cannot just leave your business and just go because you got to go do something else. Somebody has to take care of business because business continues whether you are there or not. You get the principle? Okay. So he takes care of the carriage, hands it over properly, goes, that's in verse 22, goes and talks to his brethren, encounters what was happening, and the Bible says in verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man did not even talk anymore. Because you see, after you've been petrified and scared from the talk the first time, after that point, you get used to running once you've learned how to run. And as soon as they saw Goliath, the Bible says when they saw the man, they fled from him. And we're so afraid. They have been marginalized. And they've been programmed in their minds. Is there something that you're facing in your life that you've been programmed on? Every time you see it, you say, I know I'm going to lose. I know I'm going to lose. I know I'm not going to make it. I've done this before and I failed and I know I'm going to fail again. Has the enemy programmed you? Deprogram yourself today in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because you cannot live in that state and expect to win any battles. They were running. They were so afraid, the word says. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the man who killeth him, the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. That's the first thing. You're going to get rich. Two, you're going to get his daughter. Three, you're not going to pay taxes. You're going to be rich. You're going to marry the king's wife, daughter, or rather. And you're not going to pay taxes. Now, I want you to take note of that, right? Because there's another principle here. That is the statement stated in verse 25. And the Bible says in verse 26, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine? What is he doing? He is confirming the word. Make certain that whatever it is that you've been told is confirmed again. So he gets it confirmed the second time. And they tell him, for who is he's going to define his terms now. He says, what shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine and taken away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In other words, this person is not a person of covenant. They don't have the covering of God. And they are coming here and doing what? Mouthing off? I'm going to shut his mouth off. Because he does not have a covering from God. Question, do you know that you have a covering from God and your enemy doesn't? Do you know that? You have to confirm that. Because you are not going to win or be able to fight any battles if you don't first of all
settle the fact that you're a covenant person, that you're in covenant with God, that God loves you, and God is going to be your father and your Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, and the people answered him after the same manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And now his brother, Eliab, the oldest one, hears this conversation and begins to lay judgment upon David. He says about David, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. And the question I have to ask is, see what battle? Nobody's fighting. All I see here is people running away. But Eliab says, "You, I know you're proud, and you are a naughty little brat, and you came to see the battle." And David's response is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Child of God, as you look at our world today, as you look at this church today, as you look at our city today, do you see a cause? Something that needs to change. Something that needs to be better. Something that needs to be transformative. Are you running? Or are you finding a way to bring that enemy down to size? Who are you standing with? God or with fear? These are questions that we must ask ourselves. David says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? But that's not all he did. The Bible says, and he turned from him. Don't sit down and discuss with a person who does not have faith to believe that there is a capacity in God, and that when you stand with God against the enemy of your soul, because that enemy is blaspheming the name of the Most High God, and you're saying, God, I'm on your side, I'm going to fight for you if you will fight through me. He turned away from Eliab. He turned. And went to ask the question again. He spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. This is the third time. The word of God says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is to be confirmed. Praise the Lord. You have to have confirmation. Don't just run without having confirmation. Know what you're running about. The Bible tells us about a man. The battle was raging. The son of David was dead, hung by his hair on a tree. And they've taken his body down and heaped stones over him. And there was a man who normally would carry word to the king. It's very fast. He wanted to go, but he said, no, this kind of news, we don't need you to take it. We're going to send somebody else. So they instructed a man, and he takes a message, and he runs, and he's going to David to tell David what had happened to his son. But the one who was fast and capable said, I want to go. So he said, okay, go. So he takes off, overtakes the one that had the real message, gets to David, and didn't have a message to communicate. because he had no confirmation. Are you running? You might overtake somebody else, but do you have a confirmation? What did God say? What is God saying? What has he said? Why are you running without a message? You want to fight a battle, but you don't have weapons to fight with? Unfortunately, that's where a lot of believers are. They're fighting without weapons. And even if they have weapons, they are not sharp weapons. The battle that is coming to us is not going to be won by foolish actions. Got to think the thoughts of God. We've got to position ourselves in the appropriate place. The position that you're supposed to take that you have not taken will be occupied by the enemy. You've got to be in the place where you are hedged around by the presence of God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not in Elah. Let the enemy go, stay in Elah. Let the enemy be stripped of his glory. But you have to stay in the place where the precious blood of Jesus Christ keeps you cleansed, whole, established, fulfilled, blessed, and highly favored. I must choose where I'm going to stand. Where are you choosing? Where are you staying? David had his confirmation, and word, the Bible says, after he asked this question so many times, somebody went and told Saul, there's some kid that thinks he can do something. Come. Remember, the statement was, bring me somebody to fight with. If the person kills me, we'll be your servants. But if I kill that person, then you all will be our what? Servants. Yes? Now consider this. Saul and the Israelites allowed David, this little Pee-wee Herman person, to go fight for them. It was not just about the guy is going to kill him, but that they were going to be servants to the Philistines. Are you with me? And somebody will say, oh, they must have had faith. No. They already decided they were going to be slaves. They were not expecting David to win. They expected to be slaves, but this was their faith. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. Let the kid go and die. Are you with me so far? We're going to lose anyway, but I'm not going to have any skin on this thing. David, you want to go die? Go die. At least I'll still be alive. I wonder if that's how many times we think. And sometimes we go and we engage, not because we are expecting any good thing to come out of it, but because we're going to lose anyway. Don't ever commit yourself to we're going to lose anyway. Because the chances are you're going to definitely lose. But let me contradict myself. See, Pastor, what's the contradiction? The contradiction is when the Israelites were going to fight against the Philistines, another battle, during the days of Eli. And they brought the Ark of God to the camp, and the people of Israel started to shout, and the Philistines are scared, and they said, their God has come to the camp. And then they said, well, let's fight like men. Let's go anyway. Let's go anyway. Let's go fight anyway. And they got themselves ready to do the best that they could. And they captured the ark. Hophni and Phinehas, the priests, dead. Eli dies. The ark is gone because our people decided we're going to fight. We know we might just lose. We're going to lose, but we're going to fight and die as men, as soldiers. The Israelites, they were busy running away. When you have the flight mentality, that's where the problem is. Sometimes you know you're going to lose, but when you start fighting, you might end up winning. Do you see the difference? Okay. Now, David comes out. Saul puts on him his armor and gives him his sword. And David tries to move. And it ain't bad English. It ain't happening. This is not working. And the guy says, I've not tried this before. I've never used this armor. But what I've got is a staff. I have a staff. And he tells Saul the basis of his confidence. He said, my father gave me an assignment to take care of his flock. And one day a lion came and grabbed one of the sheep. And I jumped that lion and I killed it. A bear came. I did the exact same thing. I killed the bear. I held it by its beard and I smote him. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be the same. He's defied the names of God. Interesting. Interesting. I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to listen to it. I'm going to say it very quietly and very lightly, but it should come as a big thump in your spirit. You have a God who will step between you and the lion to make sure that you don't get eaten up. You have a God who will step between you and the bear to make sure you don't get eaten up. Anybody and anything that is trying to destroy your life, know today there is a God who will step between you and it. Is somebody listening? Is somebody listening? Somebody said, my God loves me so much, he will step between me and every diabolical activity of darkness against my life. Did you hear it? Know it? If David could do it because he took responsibility for that which God or his father Jesse had given him to take care of, Jesus our Lord will do the same thing for you and I. The Holy Spirit will do the same thing for you and I. The Holy Spirit will step between you because you are the church. I am the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ says he's going to present us without spot or blemish before the Father. My God, my God, my God, he will step between you and that problem, that pornography, that fornication, that adultery, that lie, that drug addiction, whatever it is, God is going to step between it and say, you know, not going to touch this one. This one belongs to me. Somebody shout hallelujah. He will step between you and cancer. He will step between you and kidney problems. He will step between you and every disease and every ailment. Every Goliath must come down today in Jesus' mighty name. David had a staff. And on that staff, he must have carved out the dates when the miracles happened. Sometimes your staff may be your notebook. God did something for you, you write it down. God brought you through a particular situation, you write it down. Sometimes you hear me talk about how God help me drive from point A to point B on an empty gas tank. What am I doing? I'm reminding myself of the goodness of God in my life. When I talk about the fridge or the freezer that got filled, I'm reminding myself when I talk about when God said, let's go shopping, and he took me to a place. And I bought a white suit in a place that did not exist in the natural because he took me to another dimension. I'm reminding myself. When I talk about how God brought us into this building, starting with a $12, is it $12 or $10? $9. $9. Yeah, nine people, $9. That's how we got into this building when we could not pay our rent where we were. But God said, you go take that building, and if you don't take it, I will personally close down this church. I said, look at me, look trouble. What are you talking? What? God, I'm reminding myself. When on the day of closing, we were short $20,000+. And if we didn't bring it that day, the $10,000 that somebody else had put in will be gone bye-bye. And within 2 hours, everything that I needed was in hand. I remind myself, that was the staff, because listen, David, the Bible says, went to Goliath with a staff and 5 stones. That staff reminded him of all the miracles God had done. God did this, God did that. I'm a person of covenant. This uncircumcised Philistine, you're going down today. You are finished. And the Bible says, when Goliath saw him, Goliath said to speak disdainful words towards him. He says, do you think I'm a dog that you come in to fight me with sticks? What? Yes, you're a dog. You called yourself that. But this so-called stick that you're talking about, this reminds me of my covenant with God. The Bible says he cursed David with the names of his gods. And says to him, come to me and I'll give you. I'm going to give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You're not going back home to mama. You're done. But David said, thou comes to me with a sword. You come with a spear. You come in with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. It is the name of that God that I'm coming. And guess what? You've been blaspheming. You've been opening your mouth. And you're going to die today, man. And not only are you going to die, I'm taking all the Philistines. I'm going to feed them to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the field. You say you're going to feed me, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed you and all of yous. All of yous are going down today. Amen. Lest you think this guy doesn't know how to speak English, I'm being intentional. All of you are coming down today. You're done. Because the word of God says in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16. Leviticus 24 and verse 16. Here, I want to show you something here. It says, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly do what? Stone him. So the blasphemer is supposed to be what? Stoned. He that's why he went to look for stones. So you took our swords from us. But we don't need swords. We need stones. The enemy thinks that you are ignorant. But the Spirit of God in you is not ignorant. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God in you is not what? Ignorant. And the Spirit of God that would, the Holy Spirit that will lead you to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil also knows what you need to win. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. And when you are out there in whatever situation, the words that you need are going to come forth out of your mouth, because spiritual warfare is a battle of words. Hallelujah. God will, Jesus says, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to remind you of everything. So don't be worried. Child of God, I want to say to you right now, don't be worried. Whatever you need to win the battle is going to come into your life. You're going to have it. It's going to flow through you. When you start speaking in tongues, you'll be speaking the word that is necessary to accomplish the purposes of God. And you are not going to lose. Your family is not going to lose. Your business is not going to lose. Your church is not going to lose. we have what we've got, and we shall use what we have in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Victory is ours, and all of God's people said, amen. The devil's a liar. He thinks that he disturbing you is going to make you not succeed. It's a lie. God is more than all of that. You will do what God says you can do. Somebody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what does David do? He takes his stones and he runs. He runs towards Goliath. Goliath, I'm sure, is very confused. He's looking around. What on earth is going on? What is going on? And while he's busy doing all of that, Mr. Slingshot releases it. I don't think he had a perfect aim. Let me say that again. I don't think he had a perfect aim. But there was a God who maneuvered that stone, locates the very spot that he wants that stone to land in, and he drives the stone of the Word of God right through his skull. The Word of God is like that stone. Five is the number of what? Grace. The enabling presence and power of God. It is powered by the life of God, and it drives it right into the mind of Goliath. Poof! And Goliath hits the ground. I think there must have been an earthquake that day. Pow! While Goliath is thinking, you little scrungy little thing, I'm going to kill you. David is saying, you big for nothing. You are so big, there's no way I can miss. And the guy hits the carpet. Glory be to God. And the Bible says that David just goes to where he was, grabs a hold of his sword. As heavy as that sword is, supernatural strength came on David, and he whacks off the head of Goliath. He didn't even think about taking the helmet off. Helmet and all. Pow! One shot. The head is off. Now ask yourself this question. Where is the shield guy? Yeah. He's gone. He's flown the cuckoo nest. He's gone. Goliath's head is off. And the people of Israel that thought, hey, let's run. I can see it while David is running in that direction. The Israelites are running. This crazy boy. And when they see Goliath hit the ground, because there's an earthquake, boom. Hey? They come charging. And the Bible says they went after them until, praise the Lord, they ran after them and started killing them all the way to a place called Ekron. And I'm going to be done in just a moment. Just give me a moment here. They pursued them all the way to Ekron. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. What is Ekron? Ekron is a place of eradication. Praise the Lord. It means to be torn out by the roots. God wants us to finish what we started. Finish up that enemy. Praise the Lord. Uproot that thing that is standing in your way. Uproot it. They pursued them all the way to Ekron. He says, and the wounded of Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim. This is a very interesting one. Shearim means a place of double gates. Double gates. Shearim. Double gates. When you have double gates, you have options. And the wounded were left in Shearim, double gates, between living and dying. If you're going to finish up the enemy, finish up the enemy. Because they left this alone, the Philistines are going to revive again and come fight another day. In this war that God is calling you and I to, we take no prisoners. We eradicate whatever it is and not pussyfoot around it. You got to cut it off. Amen? Cut it off. The Bible says, and I wrap with this, and I'll continue some other day. David takes the head of Goliath, and he goes to a place called Jerusalem, and he walks through this city of Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because this story really, in one sense, doesn't have anything to do with Jerusalem. But he was dealing with something that's going to happen in the future. When he takes the head of Goliath and marches through Jerusalem, there was a king of Jerusalem, or the people called the Jebusites. Jebusites. Are you with me? The Jebusites. They are not Philistines. These are Jebusites. When God gives you a victory, he expects for you to extend that victory into new realms. God doesn't just do the adequate. He does more than enough. Every victory must give you a stepping stone to another dimension. He goes to Jerusalem, walks around, because years later, he's going to take that city. And the king of the Jebusites in Jerusalem is going to say, you can't come here. This is a fortified city. Even our blind and crippled and lame people will ward you off. But while David was going through Jerusalem, he saw all of the sewage system, the pathways into the city. He saw everything. So when it was time for David to take Jerusalem, he didn't come through the front door. He went underground through those places that he had surveyed when he first walked through that place with the head of Goliath. And I finalize by saying this. If you want to get ahead in life, get ahead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for his word and for the opportunity once again to share with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Is everyone here this morning surrendered to the Lord?
Is there a battle that you're facing that seems so impossible? A path that seems so impassable? And today you want to cry out to God for His help. I want to stand in agreement with you as you stand in agreement with me. Just raise your hand and let us pray together for a miracle. I see that hand. 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 I see so many hands in here, and I'm sure there are hands online. Rise with me. Say with me, my father, my fighter, I need your help now more than ever. This giant, this great mountain of a problem must be reduced to nothing. I declare, O God, that you, my father, will help me. And with your help, I will overcome every challenge. Grant me the wisdom, the skill, the understanding, the knowledge to do what I ought, so that I can receive the fullness of the benefits that you have for my life. Thank you, Father. Victory is ours in the mighty name of Jesus. Fight for me, O God, and grant me the victory. In Jesus' mighty name, I receive it. I thank you, Lord, for it. And I celebrate with thanksgiving this great victory. Be hallowed, O God, in my life. Be hallowed, O God, in this church. Be hallowed, O God, in my family. Be hallowed, O God, in your body. Make us all you say we can be. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you. Thank God for this wonderful time to share the word of God together. At this time, we'll share in communion together. And also bring our tithes and our offerings. Just bring your tithe, your offerings unto the Lord. May the Lord speak over your giving, and may it cause you to flourish. Be blessed in Him. May it cause you to flourish on every side. The Lord God Almighty that we serve knows you and I. You may not have a sword. You may not have what you think you need to win this battle. But do understand that God knows what you need. And He is well able to touch that which you have and bless you exceedingly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing "I Surrender All" just for a quick moment. Surrender all.
surrender. Father, we surrender all to you. You said you will make us new creations. All things pass away and all things become in you. Let it be so unto us according to thy word. You said you will win all these battles for us, that we should be still and know that you are God. We say, let it be so now unto us. You said, these enemies that we see today, we shall see no more. We say, Lord, let it be so unto us. You said, you'll make us head and not tail, above only and not beneath. We say, Lord, let it now so be unto us according to thy word. As you have spoken, so let it now be unto us. Victory is ours because of your sufficient grace. More than enough, God, be God in our lives. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the body of the Lord. It's the body that's orchestrated and established our healing, our deliverance, and our peace. As you take of this body today, let there be manifestations of miracles. Your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday, your Saturday, your Sunday, be graced with fruitfulness. Greatness, the manifestation of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and empowerment and enlightenment, the grace to know what to do and how to do, the grace to overcome every challenge and be more than the conqueror. Take off this body and eat and be everything God says you are in Jesus' mighty name. Take and eat.
Say with me, my Father and my God.
My Father and my God.
Fight every battle for me.
Fight every battle for me.
Give me the victory.
Give me the victory.
Over every circumstance.
Over every circumstance.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Be between me.
Be between me.
And my enemies.
And my enemy.
Be between me.
Be between me.
And anything.
And anything.
That troubles me.
That troubles me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Be my answer.
Be my answer.
As I take. This cup of blessing.
Of this cup of blessing.
My life is blessed.
My life is blessed.
Say amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
The Lord bless you in your going out and in your coming in. May you find pasture in every area of your life. The Lord be your good shepherd who causes you to lack nothing. The God who leads you beside the still waters and causes you to lie down in green pastures. Though challenges may come, He is the God who goes with you through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and His staff comfort you. You're established as He prepares even now a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You will dine without fear, without doubt, in the confidence of the Holy Spirit. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you receive this, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I look forward to seeing you tonight for another wonderful time together in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone here for the first time this morning? I don't see any such.